thomasofgod.net.
Hello, Brother Thomas.
Hey, Sister Mary.
Brother Thomas, in today's society, homosexuality is accepted as an alternative lifestyle. What does God have to say about this?
That's a good question, Sister Mary, especially in this day and time. Homosexuality certainly is rampant in this nation and all over the world. And the question is, is homosexuality right? And I think the Bible is very clear. All those who would like to shut the mouth of God will never shut the mouth of God, and especially upon the judgment day. If homosexuals continue to, if they continue to practice homosexuality, they shall meet their match and be embarrassed and stand with shame before God when He judges those who have not come to Christ and repented of this sin. Certainly homosexuality, there's several verses in Scripture which points out that homosexuality is wrong. It is a sin, and God does not put His approval upon such relationship. Let me explain homosexuality. Homosexuality is where a man has a sexual relationship with a man, or a woman has a sexual relationship with a woman. And in Genesis, of course, Genesis disclaims this, of course, as to the purpose as to why God made both man and woman. And the purpose of a male and female was for the purpose of reproduction, in order to reproduce one another, in order to multiply, as is stated in Genesis 1:28, I believe it's 1:27-28. It says this: So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, to replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That's very clear. In order to reproduce and in order to multiply all over the world, God made man and God made woman for the function of reproduction. If God made man and gave Adam another man, reproduction would have been completely impossible. But for the purpose of reproduction, it is very clear God made man and woman for the purpose of reproducing of their own kind. Even the animals know better than this and are obedient to the calling of reproduction. And yet man seems to be the only one that is ignorant to his calling. But according to the Lord, according to God, it's rejecting God and His order of creation. A man to go after a man? No, it's very plain. God created woman for man, a man for a woman. And to go opposite of that, you're denying the order for which God made man and woman, and for the purpose of creating. We can look at Genesis as well. Genesis chapter 2, I believe it is. And let's see. And let's start with 18. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, so is the name thereof. And Adam gave names to the cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh and stood thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken for man made he a woman, and brought her unto him. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She, not he, she shall be called woman, not man, because she was taken out of the man. It is very important to realize here that God only ordains one type of relationship, and that is when it comes to a marital relationship, and that is between a man and a woman. He did not create a helpmeet and give Adam another man. He created her. He created a woman. And therefore, when it comes for a man and a woman to have a physical relationship, it is not meant for a man to have a relationship with another man, nor a woman with another woman. It is definitely plain and clear, according to the Word of God and according to the Bible, it is wrong. And all those who are guilty of committing homosexuality, trying to cover up what God says and trying to shut their ears, they'll never shut the mouth of God, because it will ring forth all over the world, and it will ring forth through the Scriptures and through the Bible, even unto the appointed judgment day, for which they shall stand and be accountable as to why they denied God in His arrangement. There are other places, such as in Mark chapter 6:9, and Sister Mary, if you'll go there for a minute. Let me say this too before we can continue and read Mark chapter 10 verses 6-9. If all the relationships in this world were to turn to homosexual relationships, and women were to marry women and men were to marry men, it would not take very long, because there would no longer be a reproduction of men and women, and life as we know it would be eliminated, simply because there would be no reproduction. Common sense. But it says here in Mark chapter 10, verse 6-9, it says, this is Jesus talking, "But from the beginning of the creation of man, made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." Now, it's essentially stated there, male and female, that these two, that it's a woman and it is a man being married. "And if they twain shall be one flesh, so then they two are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And it's not just talking about what God has joined together, both a man and a woman. He has never joined together a man and a man. And that includes those phonies out there who say they're Christians and they're homosexual pastors and preachers, denying the Word of God and denying what the Scripture is saying, living a lie. They can call themselves preachers if they want, and they can go through the ceremonies, but God does not recognize that marriage because they no more represent God's will than the man in the moon. And therefore, none of those couples that are married, man married to a man or woman married to a woman, is not recognized as holy matrimony in the eyes of God. And what God is saying here says, "What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." God joined together the first man and woman. And He is simply saying, let no one put asunder, let no one do away with this arrangement, the arrangement of union, of a marriage and of a family being based upon a male and a female joined together in union. Let no man put asunder, let no man destroy this arrangement called marriage between a man and a woman. And I guarantee you, God will have judgment upon those who do. And they may not see it now, although many of the homosexuals are dying of AIDS. And there is certainly no faithfulness among them, but they're dying of AIDS. And God's judgment is already upon them. But they shall stand in the day of judgment. Let's go to some other verses. Let's go to Romans, let's go to Romans 1:25. And it says, let's read, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Notice that word, it's against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, and men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that reward of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also have pleasure in them that do them. All through this, for which I've read, he's talking about homosexuals. It's very plain and clear what Paul is talking about up here. You can't misread this. It says, and likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. That is very plain, very clear, that it is talking about homosexuality. It's not talking anything but. Notice what it says about homosexuals. One, God gave them up to a reprobate mind. In other words, if you want it, go ahead, and you'll pay the judgment for it. Notice what it said in verse 25. It says that homosexuals change the truth of God into a lie. And that's exactly what they do. They have turned the truth of what God has laid down plainly in Scripture, plainly in the Bible, that a relationship and a family is to be built upon the union of a man and a woman, and that all sexual relationship is to be between opposite sexes and not the same sexes. They are so wrapped up into their own lust and their own blindness that they're blind and they can't see, that they try to twist and turn the Word of God, but God will have the last say in the day of judgment. Let me say this: Christ is this sin forgivable? You absolutely right, it's forgivable. And there's not a sin that is not forgivable through the blood of Jesus Christ. And Christ is willing to save anyone, including all homosexuals, if they would repent of this perversion. As they would, if they would repent of this perverted way and of this perversion, and come back into a right relationship with God, confess it and repent of it, turn away from it, and turn to Christ as their Lord and Savior. They do. All the other part that I read is talking about homosexuals as well, where it says, being filled with all unrighteousness, they're fornicators, they're wicked, they're covetous. They're malicious. They're full of jealousy. They're murderers. They're debate, guilty of debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters. They're haters of God. Despiteful. They're proud. They're boasters. They're inventors of evil things. They're disobedient to parents. They're without understanding. They're covenant breakers. They're without natural affection, and that they are. They are without natural affection, and they're implacable and unmerciful. And which it says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but who have pleasure in them also. Certainly we see here where it's very plain that a homosexual turns away from God and they're in denial of God. Oh, they can go to church and they can have their homosexual pastors and they can have their homosexual choirs and they can have all those things that they want, but they are denying God, they are denying the Son of God, and they're living in sin. And until they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and repent of their sin, the Bible is very plain and clear. All sinners are going to hell, and they will go to hell, and they will also burn, but just like any other sinner, too. But we're not talking about any other practice of sin, but we're talking about homosexuals. Where will homosexuals go? Homosexuals will die if they do not repent and come to Jesus Christ. They will die like all sinners, and they will burn eternity into the lake of fire. But that is what they have to look forward to. The Old Testament is very clear as well. God laid it down real early in the history of mankind, and we can read, and there's no mistaking what it says. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. That is very plain and clear. There's no way that anybody can mix that up. Except those who are in sin, in this sin, that are trying to hide their sin by putting on the and by trying to change God's word and let it try to get it to mean something that it's not saying. We can also look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, very plain and clear. The man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman. Both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. God's is definitely saying in all these verses that he doesn't approve a same-sex relationship. Notice what it says, abomination. This word is found only a few times in Scripture, for which says something is actually an abomination. And it is like abomination is like, it is very much disliked. It is of distaste. It is like saying that it is very, very wrong. It's not just a sin, it is an abomination. And he says it twice in both verses that I read, where it says that homosexuality, or that a man laying with another man like he would a woman, is an abomination in the eyes of God. It doesn't say that it's unforgivable, it is an abomination. Now, I've often wondered, why does God call this an abomination and not murder or adultery or some other sin, such as anger, jealousy? Why homosexuality? And I think the reason is because it destroys social behavior. It destroys the natural behavior and affections for which God created man and woman to have towards one another. Society, it destroys society. We can see the society for which was totally destroyed, and that was Sodom and Gomorrah in the Old Testament. God destroyed it by fire. And one of the purposes, there was many purposes, there was bestiology practiced there, but there was also homosexuality practiced there. And homosexuality, where the men were having sexual affairs with men and women with women. And I would have to say that was probably the main reason as to why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And God certainly doesn't put his approval of it, but homosexuality completely destroyed those two cities. It completely destroyed the social life of a man and a woman, and the natural use of a man and woman. There wasn't a man or woman that was safe to walk the streets. You know, perversion was going behind every corner, behind every door. I mean, it was really bad. And I believe that is why God puts the word abomination when he talks about homosexuality. You know, it is vile, it is bad, it is extremely wicked, it is extremely bad. It's kind of like putting extremely on something that would just be bad. And God has used the word abomination twice in the Old Testament while talking about homosexuality. It doesn't mean that murder and fornication, adultery and anger and jealousy and all these other things, bitterness, all these other things aren't bad. They're bad. They're sin. But this is very bad, or this is very sinful. And like I said, the reason I think he applies it to this is because homosexuality destroys the morality of mankind and the social living and the natural use of a man and a woman and society. It brings forth not only homosexual practices, but the perversion of the imagination, the perversion of mind. Nothing is safe. If homosexuality was to take over the world, there would be so much perversion, hatred, and bitterness, and jealousies, and murders, and envyings. It would be multiplied 2-3 times over as Sodom and Gomorrah also became. One last verse we're going to look at, 1 Corinthians 6:9. A lot of people don't go to this verse, but homosexuality is mentioned here as well. It says, notice what it says in verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" And then it names those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. It says, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." And it goes on, the list goes on, drunkards, thieves, coveters, revilers, and many, says, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But notice the word effeminate. Effeminate is a word which means not manly. In other words, it's speaking of having woman-like behavior, and it's referring to a man, not referring to a woman. It's referring to a man, that a man who has women-like behaviors, even a man that has women-like behaviors, and it's not just talking about, it is talking about the inwardness and the motive and the nature of the natural man becoming dissolved within him, being taken over by a woman-like behavior. He doesn't behave like a man no more. He's becoming more and more acting like a woman, and maybe even begin dressing like a woman. And God says that this is an abomination. And God says that these homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, once again, I'd like to end this with the simple fact that every person who repents of any sin, whether it's homosexual, hatred, bitterness, envy, strife, jealousy, whatever it is, there's not one sin that cannot be forgiven by God. And if there's a homosexual out there somewhere that is hearing my words, I implore you, before it's too late, come to Christ. Get on your hands and knees and ask God to forgive you and turn away, because I got news for you. I don't care what your false prophet preacher tells you. He's gone to the same place. If he puts his seal of approval on homosexuality, he's gone to the same place. He's going to burn in hell. And it's the punishment for all those, not just for all homosexual, but for every sinner that doesn't accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's not a sin to let anyone tell you that what you've done is unforgivable. Every sin is forgivable and under the blood of Christ. And God is waiting for you to turn right now. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to straighten up your soul. He wants to help you fix what has been destroyed by lies. Does this answer your question, Sister Mary? So, certainly we see here where it's very plain that a homosexual turns away from God and they're in denial of God. Oh, they can go to church and they can have their homosexual pastors and they can have their homosexual choirs and they can have all those things that they want, but they are denying God, they are denying the Son of God, and they're living in sin. And until they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and repent of their sin, the Bible is very plain and clear. All sinners are going to hell, and they will go to hell, and they will also burn, but just like any other sinner, too. But we're not talking about any other practice of sin, but we're talking about homosexuals. Where will homosexuals go? Homosexuals will die if they do not repent and come to Jesus Christ. They will die like all sinners, and they will burn eternity into the lake of fire. But that is what they have to look forward to. The Old Testament is very clear as well. God laid it down real early in the history of mankind, and we can read, and there's no mistaking what it says. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, it says, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." That is very plain and clear. There's no way that anybody can mix that up, except those who are in sin, in this sin, that are trying to hide their sin by putting on the fig leaves and by trying to change God's word and try to get it to mean something that it's not saying. We can also look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, very plain and clear. "The man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman. Both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them." God's is definitely saying in all these verses that he doesn't approve a same-sex relationship. Notice what it says, abomination. This word is found only a few times in Scripture, for which says something is actually an abomination. And it is like abomination is like, it is very much disliked. It is of distaste. It is like saying that it is very, very wrong. It's not just a sin. It is an abomination. And he says it twice in both verses that I read, where it says that homosexuality, or that a man laying with another man like he would a woman, is an abomination in the eyes of God. It doesn't say that it's unforgivable. It is an abomination. Now, I've often wondered, why does God call this an abomination and not murder or adultery or some other sin, such as anger, jealousy? Why homosexuality? And I think the reason is because it destroys social behavior. It destroys the natural behavior and affections for which God created man and woman to have towards one another. Society, it destroys society. We can see the society for which was totally destroyed, and that was Sodom and Gomorrah in the Old Testament. God destroyed it by fire. And one of the purposes, there was many purposes, there was bestiality practiced there, but there was also homosexuality practiced there. and homosexuality, where the men were having sexual affairs with men and women with women. And I would have to say that was probably the main reason as to why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And God certainly doesn't put his approval of it, but homosexuality completely destroyed those two cities. It completely destroyed the social life of a man and a woman, and the natural use of a man and woman. There wasn't a man or woman that was safe to walk the streets. You know, perversion was going behind every corner, behind every door. I mean, it was really bad. And I believe that is why God puts the word abomination when he talks about homosexuality. You know, it is vile, it is bad, it is extremely wicked, it is extremely bad. It's kind of like putting extremely on something that would just be bad. And God has used the word abomination twice in the Old Testament while talking about homosexuality. It doesn't mean that murder and fornication, adultery and anger and jealousy and all these other things, bitterness, all these other things aren't bad. They're bad. They're sin. But this is very bad, or this is very sinful. And like I said, the reason I think he applies it to this is because homosexuality destroys the morality of mankind and the social living and the natural use of a man and a woman and society. It brings forth not only homosexual practices, but the perversion of the imagination, the perversion of mind. Nothing is safe. If homosexuality was to take over the world, there would be so much perversion, hatred, and bitterness, and jealousies, and murders, and envyings. It would be multiplied 2-3 times over as Sodom and Gomorrah also became. Let's look at another verse. This can be found in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. It says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination to the Lord your God." I've heard many people talk and speak on this as far as using it, as far as having a conviction about woman's wear and men's wear, about the woman wearing breeches, and so forth and so on. And certainly, I kind of go that way myself at times. But notice the word abomination here. And notice the word abomination in the other verses that we spoke of, where it says that a man should not lie with a man as he would lie with a woman. And God uses a word abomination there. Notice, I believe this to be more than just talking about wearing clothing. It says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertains to a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination to the Lord your God." I believe this is referring to the practice of homosexuality. I believe this is referring to people who dress up, men who dress up like women, and women who dress up like men with men behavior. Women who act like men and wear men's clothing and behave like a man. I also believe that this is referring to men who wear women's clothing and who try to behave like a woman. I also believe this refers to those who have operations who want to dress up like women and they attempt to change their sex because they think they were born wrong. God doesn't make no mistakes. We pollute our own mind and go in the direction that we choose to go of our own free choice as we feed our own lust. You were born exactly the sex that God made you to be, and it's only because you allow your mind and your imagination to take you into territories of perversion of your own free choice and of your own free will. But I believe this here is referring to abomination. I believe the word abomination is here because I believe this verse is talking about homosexuality and referring to those who go into homosexuality and who begin to wear and who even wear the opposite sex clothing, having either a woman having manly-like behavior or a man having female-like behavior. But it's referring to homosexuality. I'd like to take just a few minutes to explain something. I saw myself. Lord gave me an opportunity some years ago in a small town here in Texas, and names will be left unknown. He gave me the opportunity when homosexuality was coming out and everybody was identifying that they were homosexuals. And I got an opportunity to teach and to meet and to teach a homosexual. This homosexual was a young man. I don't remember how old he was. He was in his 20s. And he had come into contact with AIDS, and he was dying. And I had the opportunity to teach him scripture, teach him about the Bible, teach him about Christ, and he came to the Lord. After he came to the Lord, he went to die in another town because he did not want his mother to see him dying. And he wanted to go back and tell his homosexual friends that he had been lied to and that they had been lied to about what the government was saying, about what the homosexual agenda was. And he was dying of AIDS. And after he came to Christ, he wanted to tell his other homosexual friends that it was all a lie. And the lie that they were believing was a lie. And that it was a simple fact that it is a safe and that it is another lifestyle. And that was a lie. I saw that young man perish before my eyes. I read his diary. His mother kept a diary of all this time. How white scales in his mouth formed, how he could not keep food down, but was constantly throwing up again and again and again and again, and was just constantly throwing up, couldn't keep food down. His weight loss, he lost weight. He became like a rail. You couldn't even tell that it was the same young man. He began to, it looked like he aged quickly from a 24. It just like it wipes the age, your age away. It was becoming more like a 40 or about a late 40-year-old person. I saw this person, and I thank God that the Lord allowed me to lead him to Christ. But the lifestyle of the homosexual and the homosexual agenda out there is a lie, and you can believe it if you want, but God's word is true. And there are many out there who are living a lie. And they're trying to hide the lie every way that they can, even by twisting God's word to say that it's okay. But yet your guilt overrides you. And yet as you try to cover your guilt with lies, if you would just let those lies be uncovered for just a few minutes, you'll know for a fact that they are lies, and allow your guilt and your shame to lead you to the foot of the cross and to Christ.